Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that by His marvelous grace, His powerful love, by His sovereign will, by His decree, it is our pleasure, my joy, to meet with you once again this Lord's Day morning as we look to the Word of God together. How faithful the Lord is to us, my friends, how faithful He has been to us. And so we are blessed once again simply to receive His living Word. Today, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 rather quickly, this magnificent chapter in which the Spirit of God speaks to us so clearly of the love of Jesus Christ for His people and how it is that we are to love others in this very wonderful and true way also. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, please turn there, and soon I'll read the New King James Version, these glorious verses. This has been called a hymn of love, a great song of the love of God, and so it is really so very special. It's a part of Scripture that I memorized many, many years ago, and I think about it often. It's a constant call to me to be loving as the Lord Jesus Christ loved me. Of course, in my fallenness, I always fall short of that high standard of perfect love. By virtue of my fallen nature, I do not love as Jesus did. But when I shed this mortal flesh, when I go to be with the Lord, then, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, I shall see Him as He is, and John the Apostle declares that we shall be like Him. Love will not fail us, but love, God's love for us, will deliver us safely into the very presence of God. And so, my friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. Learn more about Action International Ministries Uganda at our website. You'll find that at www.actionuganda.net. That's www.actionuganda.net. My friends, let us pray. Lord of mercy and God of all grace, our true God, the living God who is love, we thank You for 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that we are blessed to receive it this Lord's Day morning. Lord, we thank You for the deep conviction that this chapter brings to us, because it was given by Your Spirit through Paul to bring to the hearts of the Corinthians deep conviction that they would turn from their non-loving ways and that they would repent and come to love You and love others as You desire, and which is truly our blessing. Lord, thank You that there is deep conviction in these verses, and thank You that there is great beauty and great truth. Thank You for Your call to us, Your word to us, Your commandment to us to love You and love our neighbor as ourselves. Thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ lived out Your commandment perfectly, that He loved You with all of His heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that He loved humanity with all of His heart, and that He loved His elect people in His saving love, and that He gave His blood for us. And so I pray, O Lord, that Your Spirit will work through Your Word this Lord's Day morning and show us how to love as Jesus has loved us, as You have loved us. Make us to be more loving. Transform us by Your powerful, saving, and sanctifying Word. Thank You for Your mercy, Lord. Thank You that You've given us Scripture, and have Your glory in all of these things, and bring Your true blessing of love to the hearts of Your true people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so, my friends, hear now the Word of God found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. My friends, let us pray again. Lord, thank you for your powerful word. So glorious, so filled with light. It is light itself, Lord. Thank you for the truth that you, the God of love, have spoken to us and called us and teach us to love you and to love one another. Truly, that is our blessing and that is our state of blessedness. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, here in context, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that the Apostle Paul is calling the Corinthian church to be loving. He is dealing with many issues in these books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, very difficult issues. There were doctrinal errors in the church. There was a great misunderstanding of grace and of the resurrection of the Lord's Supper, for instance. There was a great misunderstanding of the effect of true grace upon a person's life, and that true grace always humbles us and leads us to follow Christ in his godly life. That is, that true grace justifies us. We are declared righteous by God upon receiving it. And true grace sanctifies us. That is, it powerfully changes us. It brings us into this condition of real, practical holiness before God. And true grace leads us to grow in grace so that we grow in grace and knowledge and in love. True grace leads us to be more loving, less selfish, to be more faithful, to humble ourselves, which is a part of God's love. It's a part of what it means to truly love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so true love is this expression of obedience to God and action in which we obey and do good from a heart of humility. The Corinthians were struggling with pride, as many of us do. They were struggling with immaturity. They were a rather young church. They were struggling with many issues, leadership issues, a misunderstanding of the church. That was a great and profound problem in Corinth. And so here, Paul addresses the issue in the context of spiritual gifts, calling them to the greatest thing that God has done for them by his saving grace, and the greatest thing that they can and should experience and live out in their lives. He calls them simply to a godlike love, a Christian love, love that is expressed from a human heart that has been saved by grace, by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by a heart that has received the Spirit of Jesus, and a heart that follows Jesus in true love, far from perfectly, but in reality, loving God and loving our neighbors. And so let's begin there in verse 1 and see that Paul declares that though he is gifted mightily so that he could even speak with all tongues of men or even the tongues of angels, if he had this great giftedness but did not love God and his neighbor, especially his Christian neighbor, then he had become like an empty sounding vessel or like a clanging cymbal. He would just become noisy. It would be mere noise for him to speak in these great words, the tongues of men or angels, and not have love. It would be truly meaningless. Now he deals in verse 2 with the gift of prophecy. That is, that there was this great and wonderful gift of being able to speak forth the word of God or foretell the future. The prophets did this. There is this ability to prophesy, to share the word of God, to receive the word of God. And so the prophets were those specially selected people in the New Testament era who, by the inspiration of God, divine inspiration, received the word of God that has been transmitted to us, that has been kept and held in the translations from the original texts. This great gift of prophecy being used by God, even as Paul was a divinely blessed instrument of God to receive and communicate the inspired word, that is the very word of the living God as a prophet, this mighty gift of prophecy, it also involves preaching and teaching, speaking forth and ministering the word of God in various capacities. This most important gift to the church, this most needed gift, this great gift, he is declaring if he had this gift and could even understand in great spiritual knowledge mysteries. That is, if he had the ability to understand the hidden things that now were revealed by the Spirit in that era, if he had the ability to have all knowledge, and truly knowledge is a great blessing for us. Knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. It is the receiving of the fear of God. We become knowledgeable. And that is the beginning of wisdom. And so knowledge is most necessary. We mentioned that earlier. And so though he would have these great gifts of prophecy and understanding of mysteries and knowledge, but lack love, he declares there in verse 2 that again, he would be nothing. The great gifts would not avail him without love. The great gifts would really amount to little or nothing if it is that he did not have love. And he speaks there in verse 2 of having faith. Such faith, such a trust in God that he could work miracles. Now, it's quite possible that he's using exaggeration here to bring his point home. That is, that he is exaggerating a bit so that we get the picture clearly. He's saying, if I had such a confidence in God so that I did believe and move a mountain through faith, but again, lack love, this great grace, this fruit of the Spirit, he declares that then he again would be nothing. Paul is telling us that love is essential. In fact, one man put it this way, love is the sum total of the Christian faith. If there is one word that describes Christianity, it must be love. And without this love, indeed, a man is nothing. With this love of God burning in his heart, residing in him, then the man is not counted by God to be nothing, but the man is counted by God to be a true believer, to be a saved man. And so to have love in a real sense is to have everything. It is to enjoy God in true salvation. Notice here in verse 3 that Paul tells us, again, taking us to a length to give us an understanding. And again, here, these profound actions that he describes really are quite significant. He says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that is quite a significant act for a man to give up everything for the sake of the poor. And he says, and even if I gave my life for another, and though I gave my body, I give my body to be burned. He's saying, if I did these great or huge things, if these actions were something that I set about to do and did them, but had not love, then indeed it would profit him nothing. Again, there is no value even in giving one's life for others. There is no spiritual value in giving one's goods, all of one's possessions for others without the saving love of Jesus Christ residing in one's heart. To be without his love in salvation is to be nothing. And these great actions would profit him nothing. You see, again, the deep conviction hits us because we see the importance of love. God's commandment that we love is so searching. It is so deep in its reach. It requires of us the saving love of Christ to be found in us, in our hearts, and that we come to walk with God in this saving love in such a way that we are truly loving to others. Anything short of that really amounts to nothing. That's what Paul is declaring. And so now he leads us in a great description of the love of God there in verses 4 through 8. And we want to jump to the latter part of 1 Corinthians 13 and then come back quickly to this description. We find there that he tells us that spiritual gifts such as prophecies will fail. That is, they will end. Tongues will cease. That is, that they have an ending point. Knowledge will vanish away. That is, there is a knowledge that we gain in the ministry which is necessary for us in this world, but that ministry of receiving knowledge in this world is going to stop. It will come to an end. It will vanish away. He tells us there in verse 9 that there is a knowing in part and a prophesying in part, and that means simply that while we are in this world, we know partly and we prophesy partly. That is, we speak for God, we speak forth his word partly in knowledge, but there is a perfection that is coming. Verse 10, when that which is perfect has come, then all which is partial now that we experience in this world will be ended. It will be done away. Perfection is coming, and that perfection is simply the love of God that is perfected, that he's referring to here in context. Perfect love never fails. The gifts will cease, but love will not fail. It will be perfected, and we are going to perfect love. In verses 11 through 12, he talks about how it is that when we are children, we understand and speak and think as children do, but when we mature, then we put away childish things and we think and understand and speak as men. This is communicating again to us that we are at a level of maturity. We know something of God's great love now, but there is a perfection and a completion in love that is yet to happen. Now he leads us in verse 12 to see again that we know only partly, as though we were looking in a mirror dimly. But the time is coming in perfection, in completion, in glorification, when we shall not see dimly in a mirror a reflection of godliness, but we shall see Christ face to face, and we will be filled with his glory, with his perfect love. Now we know in part, but then we shall know him fully as he knows us fully. Again, this is telling us that there is a perfection of love that is coming. Verse 13 reminds us that we now abide trusting God, hoping in our glorification and in love, in these states of grace or these three conditions or virtues. But of these three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest, God says, is love. The Spirit leads us to see that the greatest grace, the greatest virtue, the greatest condition of heart, the greatest spiritual blessing, the great description of all that the fruit of the Spirit really is amounts to this, the sum total, love. The greatest is love, the greatest of these. And so, again, we are convicted as we see clearly and as we are reminded that our faith in Jesus Christ comes to us by the love of God. He loved us and has given his Son for us. And that in great measure and in his awesome purpose, God has designed our salvation so that we receive the love of God into our hearts so that we become loving. We become loving people, truly loving and gracious believers in God, sons of God, those who by this remarkable love that we have received are able to love others. One man put it this way, let me quote him, "New Testament Christianity is the human response to the revelation of the Creator as the God of love. Out of love for those who did not love, the Father gave the Son. The Son gave his life, and the Father and the Son together have sent the Spirit to save sinners from misery and lead them into glory. Believing in and being overwhelmed by this amazing reality of divine love sustains the love for God and neighbor that the two great commandments require, Matthew 22:35-40. Our love expresses our gratitude for God's gracious love to us and imitates it as a model, 1 John 3:16. The indispensable mark of Christian life is Christian love. The measure and test of love to God is wholehearted obedience, 1 John 5:3. The measure and test of love to our neighbors is laying down our lives for them, John 15:12-13. This sacrificial love involves giving, spending, and impoverishing ourselves for their well-being. Jesus' story of the Samaritan's kindness to a traditional enemy is his model definition of how to love one's neighbor, Luke 10:25-37. Christian love is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Its total lack of self-concern is breathtaking. It seeks the neighbor's good, and its true measure is how much it gives to that end. Love is a principle of action rather than of emotion. It is a matter of doing things for people out of compassion for them, whether or not we feel personal affection for them. It is by their active love to one another that Jesus' disciples can be recognized, John 13, 34 and 35. And so, without love, tongues are mere noise. Prophecy, mysteries, knowledge, and faith amount to nothing. Good deeds are unprofitable, even giving one's life for another. And love is greater than prophecies. It is greater than tongues. It is greater than knowledge. Love is described for us here. It is a dynamic term that Paul uses to speak of the holy life enabled by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It encompasses motive and deed. Love is characteristic of the mature believer. And we find that in verses 4 through 8, Paul's description of love is a perfect picture of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Love is patient and kind. It is truthful. It hopes. It endures. Love is not envious. It is not proud. It is not self-centered, rude, or provoked to anger. And so, as we look at these verses and see the language that the Holy Spirit uses here exactly, and as we begin to understand this awesome love of Christ better, we must see that this is a transforming love. And we thank God He has transformed us. He has transfigured us. Really, the meaning of that word transformation there in 1 Corinthians. He has transfigured us to make us loving. But how we long to be more loving and more perfectly loving as Jesus has loved us. Jesus suffered long for us. In fact, Jesus suffered all of his lifetime long for us. He was patient all of his life for us. All of those years, he loved us and waited patiently for our salvation. He suffered and then suffered and suffered yet more, and then came to the cross in his perfect patience to save us from our sins. And then he came and bled and died and gave up the ghost, all in his long suffering way for us. The love of Jesus is a perfect kindness. The love of Jesus was such that any person could touch him and relate to him. Jesus saw himself to be truthfully one of us, a man like us. He, the perfect man, was one of us, and he was a man that every person could come to. No matter how sinful, no matter how broken, no matter how needy, no matter how ugly in the circumstances of their life, in their condition, in their disfigurement because of sin or actual disfigurement, Jesus would receive all people. The Bible tells us this man received sinners. He received the thief on the cross, a man who had been evil and bloodthirsty probably, and a man in great need of salvation, a desperate, broken man. He received him because Jesus was perfectly kind. Jesus did not envy others. Jesus was perfectly contented with his lot from God. Jesus found perfect satisfaction in the will of God. He said that it was his food to do the will of God. It was his life to do the will of God. And so Jesus did not envy what another had. Jesus was perfectly content knowing that his Father loved him and gave to him perfectly. The love of Jesus did not lead him to parade himself. It did not make him proud. He was not puffed up. He was not arrogant. Though if any man could boast, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless and perfectly righteous man. But Jesus was the most humble man, perfectly humble. Jesus had perfect humility so that he obeyed God and cared for us as he did. The love of Jesus led him to never behave rudely. He conducted himself with great strength at times, and the Bible reveals to us his holy anger, but the Lord was the perfectly courteous, loving man. Courtesy is an expression of love. Rudeness is this expression of contempt for God and man. But Jesus was not rude. Jesus was never selfish. In fact, Jesus came into this world for us, a world of sinners. There was no need for him to come here for himself. He shared the glory of God with his Father perfectly. He had all honor. He had always had all honor and glory and blessing. But he set aside the glory, meaning simply that he appeared as a humble man for us, and he did not come for his own glory. He came to save us. He was not selfish. The love in Jesus was not provoked, again, akin to his great patience. Jesus received the mistreatment even to the point of giving his blood, shedding his blood in the violence and beating, the bloody cross, and yet he did not retaliate with sinful anger. The love of Jesus was not provoked by our sin, which is absolutely amazing when we consider that for a moment. It is simply stupendous. It is magnificent. It is marvelous that Jesus did not respond with righteous, just anger and destroy humanity. Jesus was not provoked. Jesus continued to love us. There we find that Jesus thinks no evil. That is, he does not have evil intentions or evil thoughts about others. He certainly did not rejoice in iniquity. He perfectly rejoiced in righteousness, and he rejoiced in the truth. Praise God. Perfectly, every moment of his being, rejoicing in the truth. The love of Jesus led him to bear everything, all things, to believe all things that were true and good. He often spoke of the good he saw in others, and the love of Jesus led him to hope all things, and the love of Jesus, the perfect man, our Savior, led him to endure all things, even the death of the cross for us. And so, my friends, we see the picture of the love of Christ, and we must simply again look to him and cry out to him and give him glory and give him praise because of his love, and know that this love is given to us, and then to obey him in our sanctification. If you love me, he says, do what I tell you. May the Lord enable us to be more loving Christians, more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the word. Work that great grace in us. Make us truly more loving, more like Christ in this most important regard. Lord, make us to love you better. Make us to love everyone better. We want to be more loving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory bless you.